Can everybody say amen? Amen. Beautiful atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. I thought there for a few moments as the church was praying and the power of God was moving. I closed my eyes and you know what I took a look at? My mind went all the way through the Word of God and I stopped in Revelation chapter 19. And I found the group of people that got stuck on hallelujah. There was four hallelujahs in the book of Revelation chapter 19. That the first hallelujah was because of salvation. The second hallelujah was because of the revenge. The third hallelujah was because they made it. And then the fourth hallelujah, just because we wanted to say hallelujah. And when they got to the fourth hallelujah and they said it just because they wanted to say it, something exploded. Something happened. There's something about when people get caught up in that atmosphere of hallelujah that they forget about their problems. They forget about everything that oppresses them. Because you see, when people are depressed, when people have pressure on them, they go two ways. They go the right way or the wrong way. King David had pressure. King Saul had pressure. They both was king of Israel. When pressure came, David made it. Saul lost out. And when we begin to say hallelujah and praise Him and glorify Him, we lose all direction of pressure around us. And we learn how to sail high like the eagle. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love Him tonight. I find this an honor. I find this a privilege tonight to be able to come and preach. We pulled in and thought we'd take a few days off before we start a revival again. And find it an honor tonight that Brother Shirley came by and asked us to preach. And when I walked in here, I felt the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We hear that so much. But the reason why there is liberty is because somebody's been praying. Somebody's been fasting. Somebody's been working. Somebody hasn't just been idle, but somebody's been saying, Lord, use me for the kingdom of God. And if there was ever an hour and ever a time that we need to raise our hand and be volunteers for the work of God, and whether it be a pulpit ministry, whether it be a pulpit or a pew ministry, whatever it is, we need to volunteer and say, Lord, there's a job to be done. Let me do it now. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And I do feel Him. And I just want us for a few moments to lift up, stand, and to raise our hands and praise Him and love Him. And let Him know one more time how much you care about Him. Will you do that for me? Praise the wonderful name of the Lord God Jehovah. I thank You tonight. I praise You, Lord. Blessed be the glorious name of the Lord, Savior. I praise You. Lord, thank You for this atmosphere tonight that we feel. Thank You for the joy of God, the very generation of Your power that's in this place. Realizing that tonight, Lord, that we're here to receive the benefit of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Thank You, sweet God. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm so thankful somebody preached and told me about salvation. I'm glad somebody told me of something that could create something out of my life. I thought of that for a few moments, and I thought about when God created the earth. And for the first time, He said, let there be light. To something that was nothing. When Jesus said, let there be light, that was the first day for a new world. And when Jesus let the gospel come forth, anointed preacher preached it to me, really what it was is Jesus said, let there be light, and there was. And it began a new life for me. Amen. Praise God. And if you're here tonight, and you're in this room, and you don't quite understand, and or you haven't heard those words yet, I know that the Spirit of God's going to speak to you tonight. I just know that. That God's going to say those words, let there be light. Praise God. In the book of St. John tonight, for a little while, we're going to bring you something that probably preachers has been by a lot of times and probably preached from this. Your pastor probably has. Sunday school teachers has probably used this. But this is what I feel like this needs to be for this hour, for this church. I feel like the Lord wants to do this for you tonight. In John, the 11th chapter, and we'll start reading about verse 33. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. 35, Jesus wept. Now we're going to drop down to verse 39. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. And now verse 43. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Shall we all pray together for the Lord to bless tonight? Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you tonight for what we have already felt in this building. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here with us tonight to minister, to bless, to lead, to guide, to strengthen, to do what we have to do. Now, Lord, we're asking you, the Bible said that if we would delight ourselves in you, that you would give us the very desires of our heart. I pray right now, God, that there are needs in this building. There are things that has to be fulfilled for this hour. For Isaiah said, we were created for your glory. And we have gathered here to glorify you. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Let me say again, I find it a great honor to be here tonight, to be able to speak to you and to bring to you the Word of God. Amen. To look across and see the blessings that God has given to you here in this sanctuary tonight, the dedication that you have, the things that God has blessed you with in the material things, the addition that you have built next door. When we was here last time, you were just beginning in that. And it's beautiful, and I know that you enjoy it very much. Praise the Lord. Many things has become, because of your faithfulness to that, what you have added to your sanctuary or to your building. Amen. I'd like to preach to you tonight with the help of God. I would like to title this, Roll Back the Stone and Let the Dead Live. Roll Back the Stone and Let the Dead Live. In this chapter, there is two things that Jesus wanted to make sure was accepted and people would understand. He wanted his disciples to learn to believe. You'll notice that when they came to Jesus and made mention to him about the man being dead, and they wanted him to come, and Jesus would not come. And the disciples could not understand, and so a few days later he made mention about going, and they could not understand. And he wanted to teach them a lesson. He wanted them to learn to believe. And then the other lesson was, he wanted Martha to understand that he was the resurrection and the life. He wanted to prove something to her that she would be able to understand. You see, Martha and Mary were two people that worked together and knew the Lord and prepared many things for him. But Mary had committed an act that was something that she needed, that was going to help her further down the road. Martha was good in the kitchen, and what Martha prepared was also good. But Jesus had to teach Martha who he was, and so he had to delay his coming to the side of her brother that had passed away. And so we find that after a few days that he decided, I'm going now, the time is now. And so we find that Jesus gathered the disciples and they went, and there it says that he found them weeping. He found them crying over the tragedy that had just taken place. And there he asked them, "Where did you put the body? Where have you laid him?" And they spoke to him and told him. And when Jesus saw them weeping that were about, the Bible said that he was troubled, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then also it says that Jesus wept. And when he found the direction where they had laid the dead man, he went there and found the site where the burial was taken place. And that's the reason I want to preach to you tonight. Roll the stone away and let the dead live. If you will notice, Jesus found the place where the dead man had been buried. And he walked to the place where the dead man was buried and stood there and looked at the place. And if we were to look at the past history of Jesus, we will find the power that he had to open the blinded eyes, to raise the dead in a funeral position. He could dare and stop the deaf ears. He could do anything that he wanted to do because of the power that was possessed in him. And we find here that there was the man that had the power, the man that possessed the power, stood there and looked at the stone that was in the doorway of the man that was dead. Now we look at this, and in our minds we say, how is it that he could stand there? Because there was a purpose for him coming there. He had a point to prove. He had something to prove, and it had to be proved that day. And there he stood there at the very stone in the doorway that was keeping the dead man in the grave, and he knew that the dead man was going to live. As we look at this, we can see him standing there, and we notice that instead of him speaking to the stone or speaking to the dead man, the Bible said that he looked at those that were standing beside the grave and told them, "You move the stone. You take the stone out of the way. You're going to have to do it. I know you're looking at me and looking and waiting for me to take the stone and cause it to roll out of the way and call the dead man to come forth. But he said, you're going to have to roll the stone out of the way. You're going to have to do it yourself if you want the dead to live." It's the same way in our experience in living for God. There are a lot of stones that are in the pathway of people living for God, and we expect God to do it all. But we've got to get a hold of the stones, and we've got to roll it out of the way if we want the dead to come alive. Here was the greatest man. Here was a man that could take a blind man on the side of the road and cause him to see. Here is the man that could find a funeral procession and say, "Hey, stop that," and cause the dead to come alive. Here is a man that somebody could touch the hem of his garment and virtue would leave his body and they would be made whole. Here was the man that had come to save the world, not to condemn the world, standing there. And these men were waiting for the moment that another miracle would take place, another great event would happen, that they could run and tell the city, "Let me tell you what Jesus just performed." But Jesus could read their mind and said, "If you want the dead to live, you're going to have to get a hold of the stone, and you're going to have to roll back the stone, and then the dead's going to live." It's the same way with us. We want God to do it all. We expect him to do it all. But do you hear me? He looked at those men that were expecting the same thing. We've heard good reports about this man. We've heard about revival in Samaria. We've heard about revival here. We've heard about revival there. But Jesus wanted these men to have their own revival. But until they got a hold of the stone, until they got the stone out of the way, there was never a revival. Let me tell everybody here tonight, if you want revival, if you want a move of God like you never had before, don't wait on a miracle from heaven. You've got to get a hold of the stone and get it out of the way where the dead can live. It would be just like myself, if he were to walk in this building I would expect to see a glorious miracle because of all of the miracles that He has performed, all of the things that He has done. I just could not wait until a great miracle was performed. And I guess this is what they were waiting for. And look, we find that these men got a hold of the stone and they rolled the stone out of the way. I'm here to tell you every kind of obstacle will come against the church when it's time for God to send revival. Everything that hell has will war against the church to try to stop it. But let me tell everybody here tonight that if you'll get a hold of the stone and you roll it out of the way, I'm here to tell you there's nothing that can stop the channel of God. There's nothing that can stop revival. There's nothing that can stop people from getting the Holy Ghost. But we've got to get a hold of the stone and we've got to roll it out of the way if we want revival. We like to see it happen. I like to see it happen. Everybody likes to see it happen. We can't wait till it happens because we have been taught and we have been trained, and by experience we know that the Lord is not going to be slack concerning His promises, that He's going to give us the very desires of our heart. But every time you're blessed of God, every time there's a miracle in your life, the reason why it happened is because you got a hold of that stone that was in your pathway and you pushed it out of the way that you could go down the road. I feel like here tonight that some of you got some stones that if you get out of the way and get your shoulders against it, we can get it out of the way. I'm here to tell you, the lady that had the issue of blood, she had a stone in her way. She'd already spent her finances. She'd already called on man to do everything that he could do. But friend, she said, let us get the stone out of the way. Just get me to the edge of the road. And when she got the stone out of the way, she got a hold of the garment. Everything was made all right. I don't know, Brother Shirley, but I feel like here tonight, we're going to get some stones out of the way. We're going to see somebody find a right away. We're just waiting. I preached a revival up north, and there the attitude was this: if it comes, it comes. If it don't, it don't. We're going to sit here until it comes. That's not what he likes. They stood there long enough. He said, all right, men, it's time you get a hold of the stone. But preacher, how do I get a stone out of the way? Every time you put your hands together, buddy, you're getting a stone out of the way. Every time you lift up your hands, you're getting a stone out of the way. Every time you run those aisles, you're getting a stone out of the way. That somebody dead can live. Hallelujah. Thank you for rolling back the stones. Thank you for rolling back the stones. You know what's going to happen? Somebody dead is going to live. Somebody dead is going to be born. Somebody. What's happening, preacher? Somebody's got a stone. Somebody's pushing it. Somebody's shoving it. Somebody's going to live. Woo. Don't stop what you're doing. Buddy, don't stop what you're doing. I hear the master saying, rise up, come forth. I feel like God's speaking to somebody that needs the Holy Ghost. I believe God's telling somebody, you're going to get your healing. You know what? The Bible speaks. You know, the Bible tells us there's not going to be any more pain over there, right? So that lets me know
that there's got to be a healing service between here and there. Somebody, this might be your healing service. Hey, somebody, this might be your Holy Ghost service. Hey, somebody, we're going to roll the stone out of the way.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. In between here and that city built by the hands of God, the Word says that the lame is going to walk, and the blind is going to see, and the deaf is going to hear. This could be somebody's service. This could be somebody's time. This could be the hour. Somebody's going to get a stone and roll it out of the way. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel Jerusalem. Amen. Somebody's going to get a stone and roll it out of the way.
I kind of feel like somebody's going to go home tonight. I remember about 4.5 years, I had to take medication to almost stay from climbing the walls with an allergy. I looked and said, God, I'm tired. I've got to have healing. I want to be healed before Friday ever gets here. I'm here to tell you that Thursday night, I was climbing the walls. I was itching. I'm here to tell you at midnight, when those hands got even, Thursday night at midnight, I was covered with bumps all over. But when that clock struck midnight, I'm here to tell you, I felt like Naaman when he came up out of Jordan the 7th time. I watched those bumps. Amen. Leave my body. Somebody, we got to roll back the stone where the dead can live.
Boys. I know you expected it from me, but I've got to teach you a lesson now. That there's going to be a lot of times in your life that there's going to be a big stone that's going to roll in your pathway, that's going to trip you up, and by your own attitude you want to give up. That I'm going to show you that if you put your shoulders to that solid hunk of material and say in the name of Jesus, that you can roll the stone out, and that which is dead, that which stinks, is going to come forth. Amen. Somebody going to be healed. Somebody going to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody going to get baptized. How do you know, preacher? I feel the stone rolling out of the way. I feel revival. I feel revival. I feel the Holy Ghost. You can set that if you want to, honey. You can sit there and you let that stone crush you to death. But for me and my house, we're going to roll that stone out of the way. We're going to have some church. We're going to believe God. We're going to watch the Holy Ghost do its work.
Yeah. Look at the devil in the eye tonight, church. Look at the devil in the eye and say, I resist you. I'm drawing close to him. I've got my shoulder against the stone. You can't depress me no more. You can't discourage me no more. You can't make me doubt no more. You can't make me give up no more. I'm going to roll back the stone. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. We got to roll back the stone and let the dead live.
Where did you lay him? Where did you lay him? Where did you lay him? That's all I want to know. Where did you lay him? You know what the Holy Ghost is doing in this building right now? You know what the Holy Ghost is saying?
What is it bothering you, children? What is it worrying you, children? Push it out of the way. Get against the rock, church. Get against the rock. Shove it out of the way. Amen. I'm here to tell you that it will go ahead and do it tonight. Brother Sherry, they're going to come forth a revival. There's going to be a soul-saving harvest. It will get the stone out of the way. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can be seated if you want to. About 5 minutes, you're going to come back up again. You know why? Because we are got our shoulders against the stone. We hadn't gotten out of the way yet. Amen. We're doing a little bit. We've already noticed that he spoke to us and said, get a hold of the stone and roll it out of the way. Time we leave here, you hear me? I don't believe there's going to be an infirmity in this room. I don't believe there's going to be any kind of sickness in this room. If you believe, I personally believe, that God wants to come through here and kiss the sanctuary of the pride of praisers in this building. I believe the Holy Ghost wants to save every sinner that's in the pews here tonight. If we'll get the stone out of the way, we can say to the lost, come forth, and the Holy Ghost is going to draw them. He said, where'd you lay him? Where's he at? Take me to his sight. Let me get there. He got there. And when he got there, Jesus just stood there. Oh, we preach so much about just standing there. Why are you just standing there? Folks, don't stand there. Be active. And Jesus just stood there, looking at the gravesite, looking at those men. But oh, there was going to be an explosion in a few moments. There was going to be something happen that these men would never be the same again. They could leave there with a positive mind. They could leave there with an attitude. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. With the help and the words of him, I'm able to get the stone out of the way. With the help of God and the preaching of the word, we're going to see some folks go home tonight and say, thank God I went to Thursday night service, because they're going to leave here talking in tongues. Why? Because somebody baptized them. Because we're rolling the stone out of the way. Adversary is like a roaring lion. In this service, you can feel it. In this service, you can feel it. But some of you, your problems seem to be stacking on top of each other so high that you're saying, my, if something don't happen, I'm not going to be able to last much longer. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Martha looked at him and said, wait a minute. He's already been dead 4 days. And, buddy, he stinks. It's not worth rolling the stone back. That didn't stop him. That didn't stop him. He just went to the graveside and say, oh, today is the day. You might as well mark it in your calendar, honey, that this night, if you believe and get on the stone, you're going to be different. You better be different. We're about to see the coming of the Lord, and you better get ready to meet him.
Oh, back to the stone, boys. And they got their shoulders against the stone, and they moved it out of the way. And there the Lord, the Bible said that he spoke to him. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus just gently walked out through that opening in the rocks. Oh, listen, how many times do we hesitate? How many times, how much time do we actually waste waiting for something to come alive, for something to develop, for something to take place, when it's the will of God that every time we gather in the sanctuary, that he's going to be there? I thought about David on his way to the place of prayer, the house of God, as he watched the little sparrow
as she would fly in and she would find her nest. And David began to think about that. You know, the sparrow is a wise little bird. She knows where to build her house. Because when men come here, they don't come with weapons to kill the birds. They won't hurt the little babies. Because this is the best place to have a family and raise a family. And that because the sparrow would come back every year and build her nest in the same place. Because I've raised a family here and nobody destroyed my babies. Nobody hurt them at all. I'm still living. And so when the babies grew up, they would come back to the same place and build their nest there. Because nobody is going to harm you where these men come to pray. Let me tell you, when we come here, we're going to meet somebody that's going to bless us, that's going to help us. It will get the stone out of the way. That little sparrow was so wise. I built my nest where men come to meditate, where men come to talk to God. There was no men standing there with a slingshot and pop the rock and kill the birds. No, they raised their family and flew off and come back next year and had another family, and that family had another family. It was the safest place to be. Well, why don't we learn that? Why don't we learn that? That this is the safest place to be. This is the best place to be. As long as you stay in this, as long as you ride this out, Paul said, none of you's going to perish. Cheer up, men. Cheer up. As long as you stay in the ship, the Lord's already told me that none of you is going to perish. Somebody's got to get a hold of the stone. Somebody's got to get a hold of the obstacle that's in the pathway of those that are dead. We wait so long for see some kind of a sign of a stirring in their heart before we ever motivate ourselves to say, let's dig them out, let's go. And all the time they're just dead and there's a stone in their way. And we wait on some great tragedy to hit their life and then we rush in. Or we wait till something divides their homes and we rush in when there's trouble. Oh, why don't we, before it all happens, why don't we, some of us, get a hold of that stone and roll it out of the way? Sure, we like to preach about drunkards. We like to pick a big sermon and preach about the drunkards, how sorry they are. But do you understand? There's a stone in their way. Some of them sat on the edge of the road, and some of them are weeping tonight because they're hooked and they can't help themselves. But if some of us would get the stone out of the way, we could watch the dead live. How many tonight on Chicago streets is weeping now, saying, I wish I could find somebody that could help me? And there's a stone in their way. Not every one of them desires the life that they're living. It's just something that has overcome them that they cannot help themselves over. They would desperately love to be settled somewhere in a home with their family. But there's a stone that's got in their pathway, and they cannot move it. Somebody else has got to move it. Sure, we like to pitch sermons about the streets, about the pushers. Sure, we like to preach about the hoods. Sure, we like to preach about the evil things. Sure, we like to preach about those that's not in the church. But there's a stone in their way, and some of them cannot help themselves. We've got to get a hold of the obstacle and move it out of the way through our faith and through our belief in Him. Sure. We like to drive down the road and see one staggering so bad and say, that's should be home with his wife and his family. Did you ever think that that man's fixing to go somewhere? Miserable, tired. Can't take it no longer. I just can't stand it no longer. And his eyes be swollen and big. Misery that he's in. Wanting somebody to roll the stone out of the way, but instead we try to paint a picture of how horrible they are when we should get a hold of the stone that's got them bound in the ground, rolled out of the way, that somehow we can see them around an altar talking in tongues and being baptized in the name of Jesus.
Sure, we like to wring the necks of those that peddle the dope. Sure, we like to slam them in a cell and lock them up and say, that's where you belong, you dog. But have you ever thought about it? Might have been a young man somewhere that was led into something and got hooked. And night after night, it's misery, it's pain, and his life is at stake. And somebody's got a revolver in his head and said, son, I'm going to kill you if you ever stop. Have you ever thought about the very obstacles that's got some of these people bound, tied up, that they can't get loose? But you and I, we can't stand there and watch it. We've got to get a hold of those things because we've got the power. Who that dwells in us is greater than he that's in the world. All we've got to do is roll the stone out of the way.
Roll it out of the way, boys. They rolled the stone out of the way. And Jesus spoke the words, come forth. Lazarus came walking and stood there. Now, the greatest one of all has just spoken, come forth. Don't you feel like that those grave clothes at the sound of that voice should have just fallen from him and him come forth? But the book says that he stood there in his burial clothes still, just like he was when he was laying there. And those men stood there, and once again, they just stood there.
You're going to have to take the burial clothes off. Your job, do it. The man had to take it off. He didn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. You do it. The stone's in the way. The burial clothes has tied them up. It's up to us to unwrap them. I'm tired of it, Brother Wilkes. I'm fed up with it, preacher. I'm going to commit suicide if something don't happen. I can't stand it no longer. I've got to have relief. What's wrong with you? I don't know. But I've got problems. If somebody don't help me, I'm not going to stay here much longer. I've got to get against the stone. I've got to nudge it out of the way.
Sure, I can't save a man, but the Spirit draws people. The Spirit reaches after people. The Spirit calls a man to repentance. But if I'll get the stone out of the way, somehow that Spirit will be able to penetrate into the mind, and the mind convince the heart, and the heart lead out and find its way to an altar. And there I can get down there and begin to help them pray until I get that dead stuff off of them and they pray through to the Holy Ghost.
Roll back the stone. Let the dead live. Jesus told his disciples time and time again, boys, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm going to die. But I'm going to tell you what. It's only going to last 3 days, that's all. And then there's going to be something happen. I'm coming forth. I'm coming forth. And we know the story. When his body was taken down, they brought him to a place, and they placed him. And by some of the minds of the people, they said, let's roll a stone in the front of the door.
because we don't want anybody coming and stealing the body. And they roll a stone there, and they place two guards on the side. But oh, listen, friend, there was something happened. There was something that left the throne on the third day, because all of a sudden there came an angel. Explosion happened, and those men that were on guard, it scared them so bad that they were like dead men, and the stone was rolled out. When that stone was moved out of the way, how many times do we have people that come, their minds are so mixed up, so cloudy, don't know what direction they go, homes are busted, arms look like a pincushion. I remember a revival in Houston, Texas. A young boy prayed through whose arm looked like a pincushion. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he came running and said, "Oh, Brother Wilkes," he said, "you don't understand," but he said, "I was on $1,000 a week habit. But," he said, "tonight, thank God, I don't have to go there no more. God gave me the Holy Ghost." Why? Somebody brought that young man that thought more about him than being a dope head. They got a hold of that stone and rolled it out of the way, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. We like to all do the honor and get the honor when it all comes about and it comes to pass. And I'm here to tell you that heaven writes it down from the beginning. That man that pushes the stone out of the way, it's wrote in heaven. This man moved the opposite thing out of the way. This man cleared the pathway for this man to come. Oh, listen. I realize here, right now, that some of you in this place with problems. There's some of you here tonight that's under pressure. There's some of you that you don't even hardly know what direction to go in. But let me tell you what a preacher's trying to do right now. I've got my shoulder against that stone. I'm telling the devil, he's not going to do it much longer. I'm going to get it out of the way, that you can feel the vibration of the Shekinah of glory, and you can go home better than what you came. Because it's just about finished. It's just about over. It's coming to an end. It's coming to a halt. It's coming to a finish. We're staring the end time. We're staring that time. We've heard so many times, so many preachers preach about the end time. But now we're standing on the threshold of that great day. And what scares me so bad, at reading through the Word of God, as I read through the Word of God, I look at the thing that kept Israel going. I look at the thing that caused them to keep pressing on. It was way back there. Somebody mentioned there's going to be an anointed one coming. There's going to be a deliverer coming. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And for generation after generation, they kept telling their grandchildren by the fireside, "He's coming, the anointed one's coming. Keep looking for him. He's going to come." We find through the kings, they kept looking for him. We find through the prophets that they kept looking for him. They kept waiting for him. And we find that the prophets of old, they described where he was going to be born. He was going to be born of a virgin. It's all of the miracles that was going to be performed for them to know that that was him that they were looking for. Explain to the Jews everything that they were to look for that one to come. He was to be born in the city of David or Bethlehem. He would be born by a virgin, and gave every description, the miracles, everything, his purpose in coming into life. Everything they needed to know was wrote down in stone. forward into the temple, the house of God. Oh, it was miserable that somewhere in Bethlehem there was the man born of a virgin. And we find instantly that the king sent men to destroy and to find and kill. They did not go back to the house of God and read about the baby that was just born in the city of David. He was born of a virgin. What I'm trying to say is the Jews were going to miss it. It went on and on and on. He was born of a virgin, the city of David. He gave the miracles, the things that he would perform. Gave his life, giving it, dying. His stripes for our healing, everything. And then they asked the question, who is this? Too lazy to go back to the scrolls, unroll the scrolls and read what was wrote for them to keep remembering. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. They missed it. They took him. They slapped him. They beat him. They spit on him. They done everything. Pushed him down. Ripped him. Laughed. Made fun. That's him! That's him! Who is that? Notice, they missed it as he was hanging there and the earth began to shake. Notice, the Bible said a centurion, a Roman soldier, instantly picked up the vibrations that were going around and around and around and shouted it, "Surely, this must have been the Son of God!" A Gentile. The Jews missed it. The greatest event. And they missed it. The Gentiles recognized who he was. But it was too late. It was over. I feel the vibrations in the air. The things are shaping up. The President of the United States has declared in his own talking that we are now in the end time. The book of Revelations is here. Prophecy is being fulfilled now. We've got to get the stones out of the way. There's still some more that need to be saved. You've got babies. You've got uncles and mothers and fathers that need to be saved. What I'm scared of, Paul wrote to the church in the New Testament and said, "Awake yourselves. Whatever you have to do, boys, wake yourself. Redeeming the time, for evil is present." Come on, church. Wake yourselves, church. Come on, men. Be men. Come on, prayer warriors. Be prayer warriors. Come on, faithful saint. Be faithful saint. Come on, faithful. Come on, be faithful. It's time to wake up. Get the stone out of the way that the dead can live. Or you are going to miss it. Can you imagine? Can you picture in their minds through the kings, through the prophets, 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Nothing. But they kept looking. They kept waiting. And when he got here, they didn't believe it. And they missed it. When we see so much, when we see so much happening, when we see so much developing in our economy, When we see the very thing that the book of Revelation tells us, we see it being practiced on the market now. I have an article of a picture that was taken of a lady in a drugstore. I wish I'd have brought it tonight, but I didn't. It is a picture of a lady walking down the aisle of a grocery store. And friend, they show you on her forehead right now that right now the United States government is experimenting now with people letting numbers be laser tattooed in the forehead and the hand of people on the face of the earth. Wake up. Wake up. Because the stone has to be rolled out of the way or the dead can live. When will they notice it happen, preacher? When will it all occur to the world? It's all over with. Did you ever ask yourself the question, what will I do the day after the rapture? Because that's when it's going to dawn on the world. I missed it. And if you miss it, friend, if you hesitate, for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him sin, if you miss the rapture, you might as well hang it up, friend. You're going to have to live through the book of Revelation chapter 16. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to do it. Because you missed it. It's over. Just because you did not roll the stone out of the way and live. I have a tape of a man that's president over the computer center in the state of Ohio. One of our preachers went by to visit that huge computer center, and as they walked to the last room, this president looked at the preacher and said, "Preacher," said, "I know what question's on your mind," said, "you just hadn't asked me yet." He said, "You're wondering about marking people's body." He said, "Preacher, pray for me." He said, "I want out of this business now." He said, "Because that system, that plan is already ready to go." He said, "We're just waiting for society to be in shape." He said, "I see what's coming and I hate it. Pray for me somehow I can get out of it." Because he said, "I see it." I have an article in a magazine. The title of it is this: Shaping the Consumer for That International Number. They missed it, folks. They missed it. Just because they did not go back and read the scroll. What is it right now in your life that holds you back? What is it that you hang on to and you say, "I love this more than I love that religion"? What is it that stands out in your life that more than you love going to heaven? For the Word said, in the twinkling of an eye, He's coming, and My sheep shall know My voice. It takes you 0.7 seconds to blink your eye. I'm coming in a twinkling of an eye. The church is gone. The house is desolate. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you like a hen gathers their chickens under her wing. But you have killed the prophets. You have stoned them."
here tonight on Bourbon Street. There's a young boy, young lady, probably 13, 14 years old. Nowhere to go. Sure, they're going to count the stars tonight. There's a stone in their life. There's something that only the church can get out of the way. How do you know, preacher? I struggled in an altar one time with an alcoholic for 40 years. He'd been alcoholic for 40 long years. I struggled with him in the altar. It just seemed like we could feel Satan saying, "You can't get him, you can't get him." I stuck my shoulder to the rock and I rolled it out of the way. And that man received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And there, you that's in this building tonight, somebody has warned you and somebody has preached to you, and the Spirit has given you that opportunity to pray. What have you done? You pushed him away. You shoved him away. For in the Bible it says that one man said, "Paul, too much learning has caused you to lose your mind, really." And then another man that was weeping and feeling conviction said, "Oh, Paul," said, "maybe at another time I'll do what you're telling me to do." Said, "I know it's real because I feel it, but this is just not the time. At a more convenient time." And then another one that was hanging on to the side of the chair and his knees were knocking. "Paul, almost. Shall we stand, please?" If you don't have the Holy Ghost in this building tonight, you better not put it off much longer. Because signs are everywhere. Signs are telling us it's finished. For the Kilgore's church, the Lord spoke in tongues and interpretation. And the interpretation, some of it was this: "I would have already come, but you have asked me for more time." And by the Lord saying that, my mind went back to the time that Noah walked into the ark and God said, "Wait a minute, you let me handle the door. 7 days." I personally believe that we're in that 7-day grace period now. Because remember, in, I think it was 1917, Jerusalem was taken from the hands of the Jews. I believe it was by the Turks. And remember, the Old Testament said that there was always going to be a time of jubilee, 50 years. Jerusalem was taken from the hand of the Jews. But at the end of that 50th year, beginning of that 50th year, there was a jubilee. Because in 1967, the Jews conquered the city of Jerusalem again, never to be ruled by the hand of the Gentiles. Because the Lord said, "What was taken from you shall be given back to you." It's about to be over with, church, and we can't miss it now. As everyone begins to pray and travail with me now. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, sir, you better come now. Don't put it off no longer. This could be the last time. This could be the last altar service. Who knows? Are you coming now? Hurry. Come on. Come on, church. Pray with me. Come on. Come on. Are you coming? Are you coming to pray? Come on. No, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. This is the way to pray. This is the way to pray. This is the way to talk to God, sir. I can tell that some of you don't even
Some of you don't even care whether the stone's moved out of the way. I can tell it. How can you tell it, preacher? I can tell when somebody's pushing the stone out of the way. I can tell when somebody's really concerned. I can really tell. Are you coming to pray, young lady? Come on, come on, come on. Come on. I'm going to push the stone out of your life for you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's it. That's it. That's it. Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Young man. Young man. I feel like he's reaching for you now. Come on. Come on, son. Come on. I'm going to try to get the stone out of the way. I'm going to push it out of the way. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, young. Come on, sir. Come on right now while he's speaking to you. Come on. Come on while he's speaking to you. Come on. Everybody put your hands up and pray with me. Put your hands up and pray with me right now. Everybody pray with me right now. Ask the Lord to help you roll the stone out of the way. You've got to get it, church. You've got to roll it. Come on.